Yeah, but that is true, and there has to be a correction. Now, there are two things there. One, of course, is that from my understanding of that abatement, because I heard reference of people getting $700 before, I'm just using some average figures I've heard, and ending up with 20-something. My understanding is, or $40-something, that when there's an abatement, the person would end up getting the larger of the benefits. So there are two things. One is the interpretation of the of what you just read in terms of applying it according to the Act. The second one, of course, is having agreed to immediately put that in place, because that is what I read into the extract from the agreement that I just cited. Having agreed to that, it cannot be a situation now that you realize that that persons are having what we are hearing people describe to be their situation, that it cannot be changed immediately. So I'm not challenging what the that piece of
As a former minister of the government, Ms. McLean, you will have to also tell us whether the invoking of this particular piece of legislation is only happening now, or
no,
did it happen
what
before?
I'm telling you, I know that there were efforts to address it. I have not heard prior to now of anybody being in a situation where they move from, and I use the numbers I use again just now because I don't have an exact number as quoted, but I remember hearing reference, and I think today you mentioned something about $700 or whatever. I have not heard of anybody moving from the kind of figure that you had to a figure that they are now saying they're having.
But that person was also earning, was still getting $1,200.
Yeah, well, what I would want to, because if you know how I make contributions, I like to have some specifics. Mm-hmm. But what I would want to hear would be any case of persons previously, and you make reference to the administration of which I was a part, mm-hmm. during 2008 and 2018, whether there were situations where people found themselves in that situation where, of course, they ended up with an amount of pension where they say they cannot even survive. So that is. I'm not challenging that, mm-hmm. but I'm asking whether people found themselves in those situations. But of course, I will read something else in here, because I suppose you could argue that according to this, to the agreement as well, there have been provisions made for vulnerable groups will be protected by strengthening social safety nets. The need to streamline and integrate existing benefits programs to be evaluated. So perhaps where people find themselves disadvantaged to the extent that people have been describing, and I emphasize describing because I would have to see the actual situation, because you mentioned somebody with $1,200 and only citing part of what they were getting. Mm-hmm. But what we are seeing, therefore, is that if, in fact, persons are finding themselves disadvantaged, then perhaps instead of getting that pension, they will end up getting some other kind of welfare benefit, which to my mind is problematic. So there are a number of issues there, but the key point I wanted to make in relation to the issues that were raised over the last couple of weeks.
But let me clarify here. Somebody says that abatement occurs at the age of 67. There's a misunderstanding in this matter. The disability benefit isn't taken away, but the Treasury pension is taken
away. Okay, no, well, one of the things that I was trying to understand, and one of the things is a National Insurance booklet that goes back some years, and it says an invalidity benefit on retirement is, well, and I might be quoting that, but I can look for it because I have it somewhere. An invalidity benefit on retirement is converted to a pension. So, in effect, if it is a pension, typically with where you're getting two pensions from government, you get the larger one. So what I am really confused about and concerned about is the cause. And as I said, I don't have people's information in front of me. I can only go with what people say on the radio. But what confuses me, given what you said about the conversion of an invalidity benefit to a retirement, to a pension, is where they end up with two pensions. Why are people finding themselves getting the smaller of the two? And so that is a question that you need to ask. But the other point I want to put on the table was that, as far as I can see, based on the terms and conditions of the agreement with the IMF, Barbados now cannot unilaterally restore those. But I think there needs to be greater clarification on...
agree on that. Let me share something with you that is not related to that. The police at 1:23 posted this information saying that they are at the scene, located in the area of St. Andrew's Parish Church, where a body has been discovered in a shallow grave in the rugged terrain just west of the church's car park. Police and BDF soldiers conducted a joint search of the area from 5 a.m. on Friday the 30th, August 2019. That would have been from 5 o'clock this morning. The body was discovered during this search. At this stage, we are unable to determine the gender, age, or race of the body. This is the third joint search that we have done since the disappearance of Raheem Ward. We, however, don't have sufficient information at this stage to link the body discovered to that of Raheem Ward. We are now conducting an unnatural death investigation. We will update you as information comes to hand. Meanwhile, our public appeal continues for anyone with knowledge or information to contact police emergency at 211 or any police station. So that's the information that has just been put out by the Royal Barbados Police Force. Yes.
Well, I really hope that the relatives of the young man who was missing would have some kind of closure. It's very unfortunate, but I certainly extend my personal condolences to that family, if it is in fact the young man, or to whoever it may be. It is that's a very traumatic sounding situation. Mm-hmm. But that's what I wanted to share, Mr. Ellis, with you, because I think so. Hopefully, what we can do is get some clarification about whether or not, and I'll just state these again, the initial thing is whether or not this is part of an IMF arrangement, and therefore whether the government of Barbados can go back on that without the IMF agreeing to a variation of the arrangement. Because, and I know for sure that if you reflect on the IMF's position on some of the benefits that Barbadians have had, or people generally, and I don't know that the IMF would have looked very kindly to what they would have seen in the past as a fairly generous pension arrangement in Barbados, particularly for public servants, where I don't think there is typically a contribution on the part of the employee. But that's one thing that we need to have clarified, whether in fact the promises of the minister, or I think there might have been two ministers effectively making some promises, whether those things can be fulfilled in the absence of a variation and a sign-off by the IMF. Okay. And secondly, if we can, based on what you were sharing again just now, which speaks to the long-standing legislation about persons getting two pensions from the same source, why it is that a person ends up from what, as I said, I've heard in the discussion, and somebody would have to clarify whether this is the case or not, whether the person is in fact getting the lesser of two, then in fact
we have spoken to this larger issue earlier in the program, and it is quite obvious to all of us that there is a real need for some fuller and more comprehensive statement to the public. Indeed, I really think that somebody from the government should find it absolutely necessary to come and interact with members of the public on this particular matter so that it is properly explained. They may have to bring officials with them or something like that. But this one calls for a little bit more than the average discussion.
There's a lot of confusion about it and stuff.
Yes.
I think it's a technical matter. I just close by saying this because my brother called me and told me that there was a caller who had mentioned my contribution previously about the credit unions and investment in the Barbados National Bank, as it was then. I promise you that I will bring you some substantial details.
Why did it take all this time? Because it took a long time for this to come to the fore.
No. I have spoken to this years ago, Mr. Ellis. It was years ago, and I can tell you from the time it happened, when there were criticisms, I spoke to it then. And once you know it's a credit union matter, over the years I've spoken to it publicly, privately within the credit union movement and so on. But just to say that any notion, and I think I had heard you earlier say that we didn't have an appetite. We did have an appetite, and we did buy shares. That's why I told you I'm going to do the research and bring you the numbers, because I have that stuff written somewhere.
Okay.
That they did, but there also was the issue, as I mentioned at the time, I think it was correlated.
Not having a place on the board.
Right, that was it, because of the substantial investment, but also the decision that they should. The other thing, too, and I didn't make that point, I don't recall if I made the point to Corey, is that as institutions, the credit unions themselves were constrained by the law. What the banks did not do, or what the credit unions also could have pushed, but I suppose they felt that they needed a voice, was to go after the individual credit union members to invest and facilitate that. But that's a long discussion.
All right. Well, we got to move
that
on.
Another.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good too, Mr. Ellis. Earlier, a caller was calling on you to get the substantive Minister of Finance to speak on this pension thing, as a matter of fact, even relating to an article in today's paper. And somehow you said to him that she spoke a lot on the weather system that just passed over the weekend. What the weather system was when it passed by Barbados, Mr. Ellis?
You can answer the question, though.
I can answer it?
Yes.
What you say that it was?
Sir, you know, I tell you I am into this talk, your talk. I'm
Mr.
not into
Ellis,
that.
You say that it was a tropical storm. When it passed by Barbados, it was only a tropical depression. It only developed into a storm after it passed by Barbados, Mr. Ellis.
Well, that was not my recollection, but...
Oh, not your recollection, okay. Oh, right. But there you go. You're giving out wrongly points. But on the substantive matter that is right up her field, because Meteorological Services is Commander Home Affairs. No finance that come under her, you can't call upon her to come and let me get a settlement.
I know full well that I was here the night, and when we did the 11 o'clock advisory, it said that Tropical Storm Dorian had passed to the south of Barbados. The center of it had passed to the south of Barbados. I feel I'm clear in my mind. That you are grossly mistaken, or you're seeking to mislead the public for your own purposes.
No, I can't mislead the public. Everybody know for themselves.
It wasn't. What you're saying is not true.
Well,
I don't know if you were asleep at the time or something like that, but isn't true.
If that is your opinion, Mr. Ellis.
There's a
that
fact.
That is your opinion.
That's a fact.
They didn't declare the storm before.
You are not telling the truth. It was considered a tropical storm by the time it passed to the south of Barbados.
What was the coordinates when it was determined?
I ain't going to the coordinates with you, man. You just come to be mischievous when you're ready.
No, Mr. Ellis, that's not true. You just get the coordinates when it was determined to be a tropical storm.
You're ridiculous.
We can leave that there. No, Mr. Ellis, I hear you already something there, right? And there's a determination that people joining the civil service or the government establishment after 1975, that they would only be entitled to one pension and they will be abated so they will get the higher one. No problem with that. I said to you some time ago, national insurance have a specific pension date. And they operate it in three parts. And you can get an early pension, you can get your normal pension, and you can get a later pension. Early pension, you can get a 0.5% cut. Late pension, you will get a 0.5% increase. But it's a specific date. So until national insurance is paying you a pension, no benefit you're getting from national insurance should not be abated, Mr. Ellis. And that's crystal clear. So I don't know how we're fooling around with it. You just pay national insurance, and you're entitled to certain benefits, and disabilities is one. And if you're getting a disability benefit, when you get the pensioners, it will automatically come out of the pension and not of the disability benefit
right.
anymore.
Fair enough.
So therefore, there's no reason why if someone is not the pensioners, that their disability benefit should be treated as a pension and abate their treasury pension.
But I just want to let you know something.
Mm-hmm.
When you could be so bold as
mm-hmm.
to come and say that the tropical storm was a depression when it passed Barbados,
mm-hmm.
you really believe people will, you will have any credibility after this?
If I believe I will
you
have
believe
credibility
so?
After?
Yes.
Why just tell you everybody know for themselves?
That is correct. They already know, and they know you're wrong. So how you expect after this now, and you come and tell us anything? Nobody you come asking me all sorts of questions, because you come with a lot of bogus answers. Bogus answers. Anyhow, let's move on. Thank you very much. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
That gentleman is wrong.
You know.
Because it's the storm passed at 50 miles an hour. It was supposed to be at 60 and it dropped to 50 miles an hour. The storm passed at 50 miles an hour. Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Yes, please.
Yes,
the storm passed at 50 miles an hour. It was supposed to be 60 and it passed at 50 miles an hour.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for clarifying it for him.
Yes, it dropped to 50. Yes, so he wrong. He was sleeping.
Possibly. Down to brass tacks. Hello. 434-1790. You're on the air. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Just to let you know that there was some interesting research. Which really, I think women in particular should be aware of this. They did a study and it is showing that hormonal replacement therapy for menopause is increasing the risk of breast cancer, and that the risk can actually persist for more than a decade after you stop using it. And this comes out of research from the University of Oxford that analyzed data from more than 100,000 women with breast cancer from 58 epidemiological studies across the world. Now, this is an area where quite a lot of people suffer from this situation, and therefore many of them have taken hormonal replacement therapy. And must be a little bit worried as to what this new research is showing us. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Turn your radio off. Turn your radio down, please.
Mr. Ellis, I'll just tell you that a tropical depression don't have a name. You only get a name when it becomes a storm.
Precisely. Well, that is a kind of situation that you have to face when you're listening to the call-in programs, where you sit down here as a moderator, the degree of misinformation that people can bring to you. But we shared with you some information earlier where the police have said that they have made a discovery, and this is in the St. Andrew area where a body has been discovered in a shallow grave in rugged terrain just west of the church's car park. And they have been searching this area since 5 o'clock this morning. At this stage, they say that they are unable to determine the gender, age, or race of the body. But it is the third joint search that they have done since the disappearance of Raheem Ward. Now, who's Raheem Ward? He's a 22-year-old from Cottage Grove, He was last seen by his grandmother about 9:30 last Friday. And he left her home at Walker's Valley in St. George. Well, I say Walker's Valley, yes, in St. George. He had been driving a motor vehicle at the time. The car was recovered at Walker's St. Andrew about 11 o'clock on the Friday night. But there was no trace of Ward. And now we have this development here. So we'll wait and see what the police tell us. Down to brass tacks.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I am right here on Google right now. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
This last caller told you that it was a tropical depression.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, Tropical Storm Dorian is forecast to become a hurricane in the Eastern Caribbean late Tuesday when passing Barbados. So it was a tropical storm headed to become a hurricane. Tell me if this fact's right. Bye.
No. Thanks for correcting him. Well, we have just about 5 more minutes to go to the end of today's program. I certainly will not be with you next week. I'm going to be away from the program for a couple of days. So if you really want to talk to me, you only have about 3 minutes or so to do so. But somebody says here, please seek or get one of your people to do this matter, this issue of the abatement. And I am a little surprised that this has taken so long and that it has just been allowed to go on and on. I'm trying to figure out what is the reason. Why is it that something as simple as this to explain to the public has not been treated in that kind of manner? What is happening here is that with the passage of time, the thing is just appearing to mushroom in a way that it needs to be addressed. I think once and for all, people need to be clear about where we are going and what is happening in relation to this issue. We'll take one last call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Our home was damaged since Thomas.
Yeah.
And nobody ever come and give us a hand. Last government, the minister went through there. He always told me that urban door repair walls.
And Thomas was right? In 2010.
2008? Yeah. Was it 20 or yeah?
No, not as far as I recall.
Summer is 2010?
I thought so. It's 2010.
Very good, yeah.
Let me just check it because.
2010, yeah. But what are you looking at now? The other government, though. The man that in there, though. He said the election, you see.
Yeah, but. Right? I know quite a number of people whose homes were damaged in Thomas. I've never really been able to get any kind of repairs and stuff like that because I suppose to a large extent, many of them were uninsured. Many of them timber structures that were uninsured. So how have you been able to live with your property damaged like that since then?
I don't, I rent a little room.
A little room?
I rent a room, yeah, my wife.
Okay. And
I was just saying I would like some help with it.
So where is your property? Which parish?
Third Avenue, Ferris Garden, Rendezvous Christchurch.
Well, it's a long time to be like that.
Yeah.
You've
yeah.
been renting ever a room then, ever since then?
Yeah. I started renting a room about 2012.
Okay.
So I was staying up by my mother, but then I decided to be on my own better.
Well, I must say that I would be surprised if you get help at long last after, I mean, from government. This is
this is
very, very long time. It's almost 10 years
right.
since then. I think October next year will be 10 years since the passage of Tomas. Mm. All right, sir.
Well, I would like somebody to at least give me a little hand with it. Right?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling and sharing your thoughts and your concerns with us. I certainly hope that you'll have a really wonderful weekend, and I want to thank Michelle Brathwaite for functioning as technical operator and producer today. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.